Well, that's the Canadian National Anthem. They're introducing us here to another episode of Conservative Casual Friday, a weekly blog talk radio show with your show host, Andrew Herod, where we like to discuss important current events of the day for conservatives and others. And today we want to talk about the true north, the great white north, Canada, and its freedom convoy, its trucker protests that have broken out across the country against various COVID-19 policies, particularly a mandate for truckers that if they cross the American border into Canada, if they're unvaccinated, they have to quarantine for 2 weeks, 14 days. And to discuss these important issues and these trucker protests that have broken out all across Canada, including in the, particularly in the capital of Canada in Ottawa, we have Christine Douglas-Williams, a noted Canadian journalist and writer, native of Ontario, Canada. So in the eye of the storm there to discuss all of these issues. Well, welcome to the show, Christine.
It's a pleasure talking to you, Andrew, and it was beautiful hearing my country's national anthem, the true North, strong and free. Unfortunately, this is what this entire trucking convoy is about, freedom and returning the true North to being strong and free.
Well, let's talk about this freedom convoy that arrived in Ottawa, Canada, the capital of Canada. What motivated this convoy? Was it just simply this quarantine policy that all truckers who are unvaccinated have to go through a whole two-week quarantine once they cross the border back into Canada, which would basically mean they couldn't work?
That's part of it, Andrew. That's what instigated it, these mandates. When you look at the stats on the truckers that were actually vaccinated, it was something like 85%, some say 95%. So it very much reflected Canada as a whole and those who were vaccinated. And bear in mind, even though Trudeau goes on and talks about the majority of Canadians wanted this vaccine and he tries to make it look like everybody did it willingly because they believe the, quote, science, although we know what that means. But really, a lot of people have been getting this because they don't want to lose their jobs. And because they feel pressurized into doing it. But as it turns out, people were getting it across the board anyway, whether or not they were vaccinated. And we're over 2 years into this, Andrew. What really sparked this was when he started to tell the truckers that if you're not vaccinated, then you're going to basically lose your job. So they decided to not just stand up for one another, but say enough is enough. They want to stop the convoys. In fact, before getting into the convoys, they want to stop the truckers at the border, test everyone, ask them if they're vaccinated. It would have created chaos in any case. But at the same time, it came to the point where these truckers, they were heroic in standing up and saying, enough is enough. We are being violated here. We are being told with aggression that we have to take the vaccine. Otherwise, we risk losing our jobs. We risk being marginalized, not to mention the name-calling that's been coming from Justin Trudeau's mouth about those that chose not to be vaccinated.
Well, I've read that, you know, Canada does indeed have high vaccination rates. It's something like 80% or more of the population in Canada has been vaccinated. Oh, you indicate that a lot of that's been pressure due to pressure. Describe then the whole sort of COVID-19 regime in Canada. What sort of restrictions and so forth do you have?
It's been awful. I mean, there's a guy that's become known for those who may have been paying attention to rebel media, okay? There's a guy by the name of Pastor Archer. This guy out in Alberta has been what they call violating the COVID rules as a pastor. They have made an example out of that guy, arresting him time and time again, dragging him to jail, I kid you not. So this is the kind of pressure we're facing in Canada. You be vaccinated or else. Now, if you choose not to be vaccinated, we're not saying that you're going to go for jail not to be vaccinated, but you do lose freedoms, like you can't go to restaurants, you can't go on trains, you can't go on planes. There's certain checkpoints with provinces that you're restricted with your travel. It's basically putting citizens under a form of house arrest. And this is the kind of Canada that Canadians just don't want to see anymore. It's come to the point where it's time to rethink this because, as we know, this entire vaccination with what's been going on for 2 years, we know it has been an experimental vaccine. That is on record. That's a fact. So people are basically part of an experiment that they did not necessarily choose, but they're being pressurized to do. So this is what has led us to this place now, where we're now under emergency measures because of this freedom convoy that said, look, we are not going to go ahead with this. We are going to protest, and they have every right to protest under Canada's constitution, to peaceful protest. They have every right, and this is what's led us here. So I know you're going to have many questions about that, because we have to talk about the meaning of the Emergency Act and so forth.
Yeah, well, let's discuss then the nature of these protests. You know, we have these pictures of all these trucks in Ottawa, for example. What are all these truckers doing in Ottawa? What sort of kind of protest activities are they doing there?
Their demand in the first place was to talk, to negotiate with Justin Trudeau, to start dropping those ridiculous mandates. That's what this has been about. It's really been about freedom. And what is remarkable is to see it take it's taken root in a lot of various countries throughout Europe and even in Israel. But the mandate, it's really about the mandates. It's not about whether or not you're vaccinated. Most of them are. It's about how long do you intend to pressure people and tell them what they must do with their bodies or else. This is what this is all about. But I want to get into a bit what these emergency, what the Emergency Measures Act is. It was invoked by Justin Trudeau, and it came out in the news on February 14th, and it gives him what you would call an overreach of power over Canada. And it is something that is very concerning. For instance, people can no longer bring food. They can't bring fuel to the truckers. A lot of the people that are out there aren't just truckers anymore. It's a lot of – there are many Canadians out there. In fact, by the thousands, the numbers are less now because of the threats. But there's thousands of people out there protesting. They brought their children along. And if you look at the legacy media, they've been basically the mouthpiece of Trudeau. A lot of them are just saying, looking for trouble. They're looking for one person in the group, two people, a handful of people that may have been waving Nazi flags, or they may have said certain words that are very offensive. But that is not the spirit of the convoy. There have been food there. People have been donating food all over the place. The homeless have gone there to get food. There has been an atmosphere of joy. You've got a bunch of Sikhs out there. You've got Muslims out there. You've got every creed, every race joining together under one flag. It's like a big party out there. If it was not for social media, we would be in trouble, because it's social media that has really been reporting what's on the ground, as well as True North and as well as Ezra Levant's Rebel Media. But it's been a happy celebration out there of Canada's freedom, but sad because never did Canadians think that we would reach this point. Now, if you'd like to get more into the Emergency Act, I could do that.
Yeah, well, let's discuss that. That Emergencies Act, okay, was invoked by Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on Valentine's Day, February 14th. And this act, in its current form, was enacted in 1988, but of course it has an older history going back. I'll discuss that some more.
Okay. Now, when we hear words like the Emergency Measures Act has never been invoked in Canadian history, it gives a sense that since the founding of Canada, we've never seen this invoked. But that's not quite the accurate picture, because the Emergency Measures Act actually came into effect in 1988, and what it did was that it replaced the War Measures Act. It became broader in many ways. Now, going back to the War Measures Act, that act was invoked three times, and all three times it was valid. One was World War I, then World War II, then Justin Trudeau's father, well, I mean, there is a sort of the jury's out there because people say it's Castro, but that's another story. But Pierre Trudeau invoked that act, and he had every reason to, and that was called the October Crisis. He did it because of problems with the FLQ in Quebec. This was a very violent separatist movement that was kidnapping politicians, and one was murdered. So there was every reason to restore law and order in the country under the War Measures Act that was invoked during that time in the October Crisis. Now, the Emergency Measures Act was kind of an extension of that. You just don't invoke such a thing unless there is a real emergency in Canada. Canada was not in the middle of any emergency. What Justin Trudeau has been saying is that while they were blocking the the roots on the bridges, but that has since been cleared, and he has still held on to it. Right now, it's being debated in Parliament because under the Emergency Measures Act, when a leader invokes that, soon after it, within 7 days, there is a motion in Parliament that's presented with reasons for invoking it, then it must be debated by all parties. And if it passes that debate, then it goes to the Senate, then it must get Senate approval to continue. Right now, it's in the debating stage. It took Justin Trudeau days to even bring it before Parliament, which is just not done. It's not done in the first place. Now, when you look at what that involves with the Emergency Measures Act, there's a lot of restrictions to our freedoms here because, as I mentioned earlier, first of all, you can't deliver any fuel. You can't deliver food there. Right now, the government has come to a point where it is freezing the accounts of any Canadians who donated to the convoy, and Trudeau has been barking on and on about foreign funding because a lot of Americans have funded it and they don't have a jurisdiction in America. But the funny thing is that during the last election, Trudeau had a lot of foreign funding from Americans, a lot of it. We don't hear him barking about that because that is illegal under the Election Act. But we don't hear him barking about that. But he's complaining about the American funding. He tried to stop GiveSendGo, but he didn't have jurisdiction over them. But unfortunately, under the Emergency Measures Act, he does have it over private accounts. So people are at risk now of having their own private accounts in banks frozen on them. Never before have we seen such a thing. And it's also worth mentioning that a tweet went out by Ezra Levant talking about how a few major banks were completely offline. Nobody knows what that's about. In fact, there's a lot of secrecy. It did come out in the news that GiveSendGo was hacked. Nobody knows by who. There's a rumor about one particular freak that is going out there boasting about how he works for CSIS, how he works for the RCMP. But there's considerable doubt. This guy looks like nothing but a nutcase. So there is speculation that hack could have come from the government because the RCMP has been handing over information about people's bank accounts and who donated. So the big question is, how did the RCMP get that information about people in the first place? This is the kind of atmosphere that Canadians are now living under as they continue to debate it in the House of Commons.
Okay, so you mentioned that the RCMP, that is the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Royal Canadian Mounted Police, yes.
And the CSIS, which is the intelligence service, the Canadian Security and Intelligence Service, I believe, or...
If you want to compare it to the states, CSIS is often compared to the CIA, whereas the RCMP is compared to the FBI. Of course, it's not the same, but that is probably the easiest way to define it.
Right, exactly. I mean the RCMP, of course, is more of, Canada has more of a federal police, or it's often described as a gendarmerie. But so these organizations, they've gotten account numbers from these hacks. Is there any then legal question that the government is using illegally obtained information?
Well, the problem is I am not in a position because I don't have the proof to say that the government hacked GoSendGo. But it's very ironic that GiveSendGo, we do know that they were hacked. And we do know that after that hack, all of a sudden the government started freezing accounts and the bank, according to Ezra's Twitter, the banks just kind of went offline. So there's a lot that we don't know, but what we do know is very disturbing. How is the government getting that information about people's private accounts? They're snooping and they're encouraging the banks and the trust companies to snoop into people's accounts, and they're giving as well. This is very frightening.
And is it legally possible for private actors to do that, to give out information to the government? I guess maybe under the Emergency Measures Act, the government would have power to subpoena or demand such information on bank accounts.
Well, that is what's being debated in Parliament right now. What is the government doing? Is it within its rights to do it? And also, this is very important because this came out just yesterday or very late the day before, that the Canadian Constitution Foundation, they announced a legal challenge to Trudeau's invocation of the Federal Emergencies Act. So it looks like the government is going to be taken to court. There's another organization, I believe, that did the same thing. What's troubling right now is that even though this is being debated in Parliament, we know that the Conservative government, all of the MPs from the Conservative Party have already, in fact, that party has already committed to stating that they will not support Justin Trudeau's invocation of that act. So they're not going to get the support from the Conservatives. Unfortunately, they have the support from the New Democratic Party, the NDP, and the Bloc Québécois seems to be standing beside the Conservatives to oppose it. So at the end of the day, it comes down to how many votes are going to approve this, how many votes are going to be against it. And that is what's troubling. This should never be passed in the House of Commons. And God forbid if it does, I hope that the Senate will put a stop to it. So it does have to go through a few steps. One thing I also want to mention, and this is very important, I don't know how many people know out there, but the Ottawa police chief that was talking tough, this Peter Slowly the whole time and threatening people and so forth, he ended up quitting over dissension in the ranks. There was utter chaos on the ground. The rumor was that the Ottawa police really did not want to do this. And apparently that rumor is showing out to be correct, because then they ended up bringing in an interim chief. And this guy, Matthew Torigian, if I pronounce his name right, Torigian, however you pronounce it, but this Matthew fellow, he ended up being the interim chief. And lo and behold, even before he picked up the position yesterday, he quit. He quit. Now, what was really interesting about the reason he gave why he quit, this is central, because he accepted the request of the Ottawa Police Services Board, he said, because he wanted to help store order in Ottawa, and he specifically stated that he wanted to increase confidence in the Ottawa Police Service. But then he went on to say that to achieve this required the support of the Ottawa people. Police are sworn to protect and serve. But unfortunately, he actually wrote this, that events in the past 2 days have made it clear to him that the support is lacking. So there is not support on the ground, as Trudeau and the legacy media are trying to get people to believe there is not support on the ground. So much, in fact, that the interim chief quit because they're not getting support from Ottawa. They're making it look like, oh, the Ottawa people just want the convoy out of there. Well, according to this interim chief, they do not. They're very much supportive of the convoy. Yes, you have those who are fed up. Yes, you have those who want the convoy to leave. They don't understand, obviously, the greater good here. But yes, you have those that are complaining. But as a whole, there is not support on the ground for police arresting people, which, by the way, is going on today. There are huge amounts of arrests happening today. And as a result, and I can't tell you why, Andrew, that they decided to stop debate in the House of Commons due to the rounds of arrests that are happening. I don't see how that affects the debate, but the debate is now stalled, unfortunately, because every bit of time that Justin Trudeau has, he has the time to harass the Canadian public with. Are we connected, Andrew? Okay.